Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Cycad fossils were so prevalent in Fall River County a century ago that in 1922, Fossil Cycad National Monument was declared for a 320-acre section. However, excavation and theft led to the eventual closing of the monument in 1957. In the January-February issue of South Dakota Magazine, Bernie Hunhoff writes about searching for the missing cycads, or petrified pineapples, as Fall River County pioneers dubbed them. Hunhoff is editor-at-large for South Dakota Magazine, and he joins us now on the phone. Hey, Bernie, welcome back.
Hi, Lori. Good to be here.
All right. I love this story for a couple of reasons. One, it's just a great story, and two, you just get to drive around and ask questions and stop at people's houses and say, who's the oldest person living in this area? And that makes me really happy. So tell us a little bit about the journey that you started on for this story and how it began.
Well, you know, I'd heard about those unusual fossils, petrified pineapples, as you said, is what the locals call them for decades and decades, generations. I'd heard about them through the years. I have some friends who are kind of, you know, West River fossil hunters, and they told me about this deal. They said it was pretty much all gone, so we never rushed out and did a story. And then in recent years, in fact, South Dakota Public Broadcasting did a very fine story just recently, more centered on the fact that we had a national park created in 1922, and it was declared no longer a national park in 1957 because there just were no fossils there. There was nothing there but grass and cattle. And so I never really rushed out to do it, but then Todd Epp, who another South Dakota Public Broadcasting alumni, sent me a story that really piqued my interest about how you were coming on the 100th anniversary of it. It looks like the National Park Service is now really trying to evaluate, you know, what went wrong, how did this debacle happen, where we had the makings of a national park, natural history, a really, really unique place that was described by explorers 100 years ago as a petrified forest. And yeah, in fact, Edgar Allan Poe even wrote about it in some of his fiction books. So, and how did that all come to be lost? So we thought at some point we should just go out there, dig around, see, is there anything left there at all? What do the local people know about it? What are the local stories? And that's kind of how we went out to Fall River County with that thought in mind.
Yeah. Dig around metaphorically, because digging around is what got us in trouble. So you go out and what do you find? Who are some of the people that you meet?
And actually, people do when there's a really heavy rainfall out there. You know that soil out there is so unstable that when there's a really heavy rainfall, actually fossil hunters do rush out there. Not to dig. You are supposed to dig very deep, but they do go out there after a rainfall to see if anything eroded away. And oftentimes that's when you would find them actually. So what we found, I just drove out there and started poking around. Like, yeah, I think that is probably what we do best at South Dakota Magazine. Is just, you know, act dumb, which comes easy, and go out there and start asking questions. And you bet, I drove into a farmyard and a lady, a very nice lady there, told me, well, you need to talk to Dorothy Wyatt, who lives just a mile down the road. She knows everything about history. So we went there, and Dorothy Wyatt told me all about him. She knew there was a park, kind of had a rough idea where it was at, not exactly. And then I said, did you ever see one? And she said, well, I have a photo of our house built in 1907, I think it was, by her husband's grandparents built the house. And she said there's a photo, and they always thought that they had two stones right by the back porch. And she said, we always heard that those were cycads. She said, and I said, well, could I see that photo? And she said, she'd find the photo, but she said the cycads are still back there. So right off the bat, we found two cycads. And then she pointed us in a few other directions. You know, the local Fall River County Museum actually has a very nice room dedicated to cycads, and they've got several under glass there. And a wonderful lady there who runs the museum, Wanda Auberg, she's actually growing a couple live cycads. These are ancient plants that have been around for hundreds of millions of years, but you can still grow a cycad today. It looks like a little house plant, actually. So we started poking around. We ran into Russell Wyatt. That was Dorothy's brother-in-law. And then eventually people sent us out to the exact spot, which is now ranched by Bruce Murdoch. And his wife Linda was still alive then when we were there last summer. Sadly, she died just a couple weeks later after we met her in a ranch accident. But Bruce and Linda showed us once in all his years there. He's been there since the 1970s, and he's found just one. And he actually runs cattle on the place that was once described as a petrified forest. He's found only one in all those years, and he's, you know, been out there with the cattle day, you know, 365 days a year.
As you looked into what are some of the lessons, Bernie, that are applicable today? Because it was, you know, a missed opportunity, and in some ways, I mean, there were piles of these fossils that were just carted off and sold without an awareness or obligation to do the right thing by the natural history of the site. What did we learn about this that's relevant for us today, do you think?
And fortunately, the National Park Service, I think, is really trying to go through that thought process right now. But what we learned, I mean, is that even things that are really well-intentioned, when it comes to our natural history, even when everyone has good intentions, huge debacles can take place. So you just cannot take your eye off natural history, because when it's gone, it's gone. I think that's the real lesson. This was all a well-intentioned debacle. There was a guy from Yale who read the early explorers' accounts and came out to the Black Hills in the 1890s, George Weiland. And he was a paleobotanist and, you know, well-schooled in preservation of these things and fascinated by the site, thought it should be a national park. And eventually he homesteaded the property only to save it from others. And yet he just constantly gave them away to other museums. Yale, his own university, ended up with many, many, maybe more than anyone else. But they're in museums throughout the Midwest and the West and the East. And the School of Mines, fortunately, got a bunch of them in the 1980s when they dug up the road there, and they dug a big ditch for a new overpass along Highway 18, and the workers were just pulling them out of the ground, you know, left and right. A lot of them, those ones disappeared, but fortunately, the School of Mines ended up with a bunch of those. We learned that even with the best intentions, our natural history is fragile, and we need to. We need to be ever diligent. It's kind of odd for historians of South Dakota to think that when this all happened, Peter Norbeck was first governor and then a U.S. senator. He was an amazing conservationist and a pretty powerful person in South Dakota and in Washington. And this kind of all happened actually under his watch.
Interesting. And you said, you know, today if it rains, there's more of these under the ground, a few above ground. Are there efforts to make sure that if somebody comes across one today, they don't do the same thing? What are the rules or regulations today for fossil finding?
Excellent question. This is federal property. When the park was disbanded, the 320 acres, it was just thrown in with all the other national grasslands, the BLM grasslands in West River, South Dakota. So it's now cattle are grazed on there. But people can go on that land. It's public grasslands. And yes, if you go out there, I don't think you're supposed to be digging around on it, but if you go out there and find one laying on the surface, you actually can take a fossil. You cannot sell it. That's the deal. You cannot profit from it or sell it. But you can take I don't forget the exact wording of the law, but you can take a reasonable, a sample. You can't take a truckload of them, but you can take one. As a collector or a curiosity seeker, and I don't think there's any penalty. They kind of discourage it, but it's not against the law.
Bernie, also in this issue, it's the Winter Reader, the fiction, which I adore when it lands in my mailbox every month. Anything else you want to say about this issue that you just think people should know about how you put it together, the January, February issue?
Well, it's been a bit more of a challenge, as I'm sure you folks are finding out too, in the COVID era, to go out and collect stories and meet with people and interact. And it's been a bit of a challenge, but we're getting along okay. I'm actually in Rapid City today in a corner of a coffee shop, trying to avoid people as best we can. So it's been a challenge for us all at the magazine, but it's been interesting. It's made us do things in a little different way. Probably spent a lot more time in the rural areas than we normally would, and that's not a bad thing as far as I'm concerned. So it's just been a different era. I think in some ways we're getting better from it and we'll be stronger for it, but it's been a challenge probably running a radio station and also running a magazine in this last year.
Yeah, I can't wait till I can welcome. I saw a promo on SDPB TV last night, and there's the guests and just some of the people who've been on the show and musicians playing, and I thought, oh, I can't wait. until we can do some of those face-to-face conversations again. But so far, we've had the show every day, so we're doing all right.
you guys have done an amazing job, and you haven't missed a step. That's really been impressive to listen to. You know, we're collecting a lot of stuff on how people can travel safely. But as we do it, I mean, this is, I think we're coming up on travel information that will benefit our readers, you know, for years and years to come. I think we're just doing things in a different way, looking a little harder, thinking things through a little more. And again, I think it's making us stronger as a magazine, actually.
Yeah. Bernie Hunhoff is editor-at-large for South Dakota Magazine. You can find the January-February issue still on stands. Thank you, Bernie. We appreciate your time.
Oh, it's always fun to talk to you, Lori. Thanks for calling.